Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John. Hear now these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the sea, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of your fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
I recently read a story in a magazine about a nonprofit called The Dinner Party. It's an organization that gathers and organizes folks in their 20s and 30s, grappling with grief and loss, in small dinner party groups. It was formed in 2010, and it currently has around 275 tables in over 150 countries worldwide. Cities worldwide. Their mission is this: to gather people together around potluck dinners to eat and talk about ways in which loss continues to affect their lives and how to go on living and thriving while still dealing with grief. Their goal is to prevent isolation, the isolation that often happens when one experiences a loss. The story I read describes a woman named Stephanie in her mid-20s, whose best friend had recently died due to a drunk driving accident. Stephanie tells of the experience of meeting with strangers over a meal and discussing their common story about the ongoing experience of grief. For her, it provided a space to be in fellowship with people who understood a part of what she was going through, even if she couldn't yet find the words to speak aloud and participate in that conversation. She felt comfortable to just be where she was in the moment, having some soup and a glass of wine, all things brought by those gathered. Something about this story captured my senses. As I was reading it, I could almost smell the soup, and I could almost feel Stephanie's woundedness in my own stomach. Maybe it was the part about strangers brought together over a shared meal to ease each other's wounds of grief. Maybe it was the part about a potluck, or maybe it was that I noticed how communion can happen in places we don't expect. In fact, the gospel story today describes a vivid scene in which the disciples, only days after the traumatic events of Jesus' death on a cross and finding the tomb empty after 3 days, decide to go fishing. fishing being their former trade before Jesus called them to ministry. As they are fishing, the resurrected Christ is on the beach watching them. He calls out and asks them if they had caught any fish yet, to which they reply, no, not recognizing who Jesus is. Jesus, as we heard, instructs them to throw the net to the right side of the boat. And after doing that, they catch so much fish that they cannot haul the net in. Then Jesus calls them to have breakfast with him on the beach, complete with fish and bread. The meal on the beach was the third time Jesus had reappeared to them in his resurrected body. This time, they do not recognize that the man is Jesus until he reveals himself through the miracle of providing them with fish to catch and food to eat. This story is about abundance and calling, and of a resurrected Christ who continually feeds us, eats with us, and calls us, even during or especially during times of sorrow. Thinking of this story with the disciples, I ask, how many times do we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus over a shared meal? Maybe some of you haven't thought about your family dinners quite that way. In fact, I don't know much about Stephanie, the woman in the grief potluck dinner, or her religious affiliation, but I could guess that she also probably wasn't thinking of Jesus as she was eating a meal with these strangers. Regardless, I dare to say that God shows up in special times like these, over a meal with strangers, and we know it because of this gospel story and of other sacred stories told in our scriptures. All over the New Testament, there are so many stories of Jesus gathering different folks from all walks of life for a meal. We recall the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, or of the wedding at Cana, or the dozens of stories when Jesus eats with the widows, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, or, of course, Jesus' final gathering with his disciples at the Last Supper. In the tangible, touchable, tasteable experience of eating a meal, Jesus gathers, feeds, and provides, and is radically present in a way that is both healing and hope-giving. As these stories in our gospel story illustrates for us, Jesus is profoundly present in these meals. Do we recognize him? Do we recognize him in each other? Or is he in the community that is transformed in the process? We've all had these experiences, whether at joyful family dinners or friends' birthday parties, or alternatively with a meal, over a meal with a friend who's struggling, or even during a meal after a funeral. A time comes to mind when I was having a tough day recently. Elliot and I had plans for a couple of friends to come over, but, you know, I was thinking maybe I'll cancel the plans. I'd prefer just to sit on my couch and watch Netflix. But instead, decided to continue with our plans, and we made a meal for them. And finally, as we sat down to eat and converse, we said a quick prayer. And I almost found myself in tears, overwhelmed with a feeling of gratitude to have friends to share stories with and to eat a meal with, and where I could express my worries and laugh and just be. We are doing something so normal, eating corn on the cob, but yet that act of communal sharing and filling ourselves with a meal together almost felt sacred. I think many of us have had experiences like this. That feeling, I argue, is God showing up in community, fulfilling her promise to always be with us wherever two or three are gathered, and reminding us of Jesus' words to remember him every time we eat this bread and drink this cup. And likewise, We celebrate together the sacrament of Holy Communion like we did this morning. When we do this, we acknowledge the power of gathering around a table set with bread and wine and juice, remembering that Christ's life and death and resurrection, and believing that he is present in a mysterious and transforming and healing way. It is particularly special to be celebrating communion today, remembering that communities all over the world are also preparing and sharing a meal as Holy Communion. On this World Communion Sunday, we acknowledge that this communion table, which we gather around for a meal, is one that unites all of Christianity. It acknowledges that we all believe as the global body of Christ in the risen Christ, who continually, like the gospel today, calls us, feeds us, and empowers us to be his hands and feet in the world. World Communion Sunday is a day to rejoice that we are connected to people outside of these four walls of our meeting house, outside of our Glastonbury zip code, with the people across the Connecticut River and across the ocean. This reminder of connection is always important, but especially now in a world and country seemingly dealing with one disaster after another, with what feels like no end in sight. To me, sometimes I want to turn off my radio and throw away my phone so I can, just for a moment, stop hearing about situations that I feel so powerless to stop or change. It's so tempting to shut down and turn inward. Does anyone ever feel like this way sometimes? Of course, we all have our own threshold for these things, and everyone needs to honor their own limits. But for me, I need to remind myself that this is not the time to bury my head in the sand, because God has work for me, for us to do. God has work for us to do to open doors and build bridges in this congregation, in our families, in our communities, and in the world. But again, this feeling of helplessness emerges sometimes, still. With all that's going on, what can I do? I'm not going to give you all a prescription because honestly, I'm still figuring it out myself. But what I can tell you is that I believe a crucial place to start is through gathering in community, through worship, through meals together, and through prayer. Through our worshiping today and every Sunday, we pray and sing aloud that God is present here with us in our prayer, song, and communion. And on this World Communion Sunday, we turn our perspective outward to the world which, like us, needs healing and hope. In a moment, I will invite you to get up and go to one of four stations around the meeting house. On each table, there's a table there and there and two in the narthex. On each table, you will find a map of the world, and next to that, a bowl of salt and a bowl of seeds. I invite you to place salt on the places in the world that need God's healing, and seeds on the places in the world where you would like to give hope. Both of these elements have a presence in our scriptures. Salt was used in the Bible to symbolize both healing and God's grace, remembering Jesus' call to be salt of the earth. And likewise, seeds served as a symbol of new life and hope. We are one global body of Christ with many parts. God calls us to spread our love and God's love to all corners of the earth, especially when the world is hurting, especially on a day like today. And whether it is sharing or preparing a meal with people who are grieving, or sending money to hurricane relief, or having a courageous conversation with someone with whom we disagree, or just praying that God be present in places that need healing and hope, we are called to follow a resurrected Christ who promises to do this work with us, side by side, and a Jesus who will, over and over again, love us, feed us, and empower us. Amen.